Back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, talking with our friends from the Chamber of Commerce here, Jason Smith, President and CEO, and Amber Wilhelm, Talent Strategies Coordinator with the Chamber. And kind of recapping here with the Leaders Retreat that took place a couple weeks ago. And we're going to talk a little bit also, there were some things noticed here on entrepreneurship as well.
So the third major topic that we talked about was tools to help people start new businesses, and then how do we help entrepreneurs and small businesses succeed? And most of that revolved around funding and how do we interject more funding, mentorships, how can we connect, and we're going to talk a little bit about our young professionals in a minute, but how do we connect some of the older, wiser professionals and providing mentorship to some of the younger startups. We have to have more startups in the Manhattan region if we're going to have a long-term economic path to prosperity. You just can't make all that up with your current businesses, and we have to have locally owned businesses who keep the money that they make in the community. And we've talked about this in here many, many times. Our largest businesses, private businesses in this community, the majority of which started as entrepreneurship ventures, some still are entrepreneurship ventures, and they usually in most communities provide the largest impact, both in terms of jobs, wages, and then philanthropic efforts. And so what can we do to be better at startups in Manhattan? And we certainly have the opportunity with the resources we have, both in terms of the university, Fort Riley, a lot of the technology that's coming out of the university. And so we can do better. And we're working now with Spark, which we've had in here with us before, and they're making a lot of advancements in that space, both in terms of just general startups and then also their work in the minority and disadvantaged business community. And so we're real proud of that effort, but we have to do better. One of the other things that we talked about, and again, it kind of goes along with the entrepreneurship, is how do we attract and retain people to this community? And I know you and I touched briefly earlier in the week on the census results that just came out. And while it's good that we're growing, and you certainly don't want it to go the other way, we are not growing at a level that we would consider to be sustainable. It's not sustainable if we're going to maintain the quality of life that we expect. And you see that every year when governing bodies are going through their budgeting process and they're trying to figure out how to manage increased costs, because everything goes up every year. We all see that. With flat revenues. And so they're charged at that point with either we have to cut some things, and I know everybody thinks there's things to cut. They just don't want, but when you ask them specifics, it's always somebody else's program, right? So you either have to sit around and figure out what you're going to cut, or you have to raise rates. And neither one of those is attractive for the long-term prosperity of this community. And so we have to find ways to grow. And part of the Region Reimagined strategy was to create a talent division within our economic development organization, because not only do we need to attract jobs, but we need to attract and retain the people to fill those jobs. And so we have been working for the last several months with used to be 502 Marketing, now it's Middle, on a new branding, not so much branding as just we're calling it a toolkit for employers as they look to attract people to the community and retain people to the community. And I know this from personal experience. And you know, it's just kind of our Midwest nature. I think we always tend to be this way. But when I was considering moving to Manhattan, and I went online to find out about Manhattan, because I'd never been to Manhattan, I'd been through it, there's not anything online or any resources available that really speak to how great this community is. And I got no sense of the vibrancy and all the things that were going on in this community till I actually visited. Well, in a number of instances, you may not get a visit. And so if you're an employer and you're trying to attract a programmer or an engineer or a welder or a number of other things where we see openings, and you're trying to convince somebody to move here, or that person's trying to convince their spouse to move here, we need to create a dynamic where people have or can easily access quality information that really delves into what makes Manhattan great. And I think the Metal did a great job coming up with a campaign that we're calling, and I keep saying campaign, it's really just it's just a brand, Made for Manhattan. And we launched that officially. We did a soft launch with some HR professionals, but we launched that officially at the Leaders Retreat, and Amber is going to coordinate that. But there's a number of resources available, and we built it primarily for the HR community, because what we discovered is they're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars attracting people here. What can we do to help them sell Manhattan?
All right. Well, Amber, talk with us a little bit about Made for Manhattan and kind of how it's getting started here.
Yes. So Made for Manhattan, we like to say, is more like a one-stop shop, if you will. So on that website, you will find demographic information, cost of living, neighborhood information. We have testimonials from Manhattanites, from people that really know Manhattan best and have lived it. So it's really, really exciting. It's a cool site. It's madeformanhattan.org. So we encourage you to go check that out. That will ultimately have job opportunities linked to that. So we think that will be a great tool for, again, human resource management professionals, new residents of the community, and then prospective residents of the community. I will add that me being a Manhattanite, or being in Manhattan for several years now, I visited this site and I thought it was tremendously helpful. So it was really, really exciting to peruse on that site.
All right. Well, that's cool. It really does come down to marketing ourselves better, because we see the signs on I-70, you know, for visitors, but you know, we don't see as much the stuff online that, as you mentioned, Jason. It's kind of crazy how that is.
Yeah, and one of the tools that and I'm going to ask Amber to talk about is, and I call them postcards from the community, but maybe talk a little bit about that. It's targeted specifically to businesses to help them recruit high-end employees.
Yes, so we do have Made for Manhattan boxes. So it is literally that Made for Manhattan site packaged up into a box. So within that box, we'll have a variety of different postcards, again, from people that have lived here in Manhattan, with a handwritten note from them on the back of that card. So it might be an experience tailgating, and it might say, hey, I really enjoyed football this season, and I was tailgating outside of the family stadium. And so it's a collection of cards from people that have lived here in Manhattan. And so we've really just packaged up that website, and HR professionals, again, have the opportunity to send those to prospective candidates to attract them to Manhattan.
At the end of the day, I think we figured that the people in Manhattan sell Manhattan much better than the chamber can. And so it's a concept of, let's just let our citizens tell the story. And, you know, it was interesting as we were putting those together, it literally was, in some cases, our team finding a really cool picture on a Facebook page and then contacting that person and said, hey, will you do a postcard for us? And so they would write a handwritten note. And so on one side is the picture that we saw on Facebook, and on the other side is the note from the resident that describes why this is important to their Manhattan experience. And that turned out so great. And we had a business that was in our office, and we were showing them the product, and they go, I want to recruit somebody just so I can send them this box. This is incredible. And there's part of that too is also a relocation guide that it's kind of funny how technology changes. 5-10 years ago, when QR codes first came out, they kind of flopped. And then all of a sudden, because of COVID, people are really engaging QR codes again. And so we have this relocation guide that has QR codes on it. So that helps that guide stay viable longer, because you can change the data on the website much easier than you can reprint guides. And so that's there. The other thing about the website that I think is really cool is there's a section that it's kind of a living document. So we will continue to add content, and it's all under certain categories. So if someone is, if you're recruiting a person to town and they're interested in dining and outdoors, the HR professional can pick those two categories. It'll pull up all of the content relating to those two items, and they can send them the web link, and it will only pull up those two items. So it really makes it a unique experience for the user, which is another, I think, pretty cool concept, and lets us continue to add. And we already have about 10 things that we know we need to add to that. So it's constantly moving, and we see this, and I want Amber to talk a little bit about hype in a minute, but we see this effort working hand in hand with our Young Professionals program, because we have to attract and retain. But once you attract and retain, then somehow you've got to find ways to keep people engaged. And if you have a family and you're moving here with a family and you have kids, it's easier sometimes to do that because you have built-in activities with schools and churches and those kind of things. If you're moving here as a single person and you don't know people or even in some cases, you know, we hear from K-State graduates who had their network while they were in school, then they graduate and they decide to stay. Most of their friends maybe, or a lot of their friends left, and they're stuck without a network. And then it's like moving to a new town. And so we see the retention and attraction efforts of talent working hand in hand with our Young Professionals program. And so that's why Amber is working, is managing that program for us as well.
And I imagine one of the biggest challenges here, because I'm looking at the census, you know, all over the Midwest, it's just population increases are very down. You got to go to the coast to see or out west and south where a lot of the increases are happening. From your standpoint, Amber, what are you hearing from some of the younger professionals? Why would they not want to come out here, or what are some of the things preventing them from coming to a place like Manhattan?
Yeah, I will speak from my experience. When I was at K-State, I'm a K-State grad, so when I was at K-State, you know, my focus was on school and maybe some extracurriculars, but my focus was on school, and I didn't know what the Manhattan community has to offer. And so oftentimes we see you just don't know until you know. And so getting out there and sharing about HYPE, sharing about the Manhattan community and all that we have to offer, because it really is a great place to work and live. And so just raising that awareness and, again, that marketing that you mentioned earlier.
Okay. I will add, too, that in these all these things work hand in hand. We have to have more jobs, right? Mm-hmm. So I think one of the number one complaints is I can't find a job that it fits my skills or pays what I can make going somewhere else. And that might be okay if the cost of living is lower, but generally, regionally, our cost of living is at or above our regional competitors. And so that's one of the reasons why we were so engaged and excited about the workforce housing component of the sales tax election in November, because we see housing being one of the big challenges in keeping young people here. So jobs, housing, and connections. And if we can do better in those three things, I think we'll see in 10 years when we have another census results, I think we'll see that number change in a more positive way. You know, I think the average, if it was like 3.5% growth over 10 years, which is, I think, 0.35 annually, correct? And we see in our regional competitors, university communities, those numbers are usually between 1 and 2. And so while we're not expecting to see the numbers they get in on the coast or in Texas, but I do think that it's reasonable to expect that we can average 1% growth a year. And I think that helps our governing bodies make their budgets on an annual basis. I think it helps our small business people continue to grow and prosper in the community without having to worry about taking sales from other, you know, if you add people, you add the amount of money being spent in the community, and you don't have to figure out how to divvy up a shrinking pie. So that's why this is so important to our overall efforts, and we have to continue to work.
All right. We're going to take a break, but we'll come back more in focus with our chamber guests here in a moment, here on News Radio KMAN.